Welcome to CLCC Online. We pray that this message draws you towards Jesus and strengthens your walk with Him. We believe that we were meant to do life in community. So if you live in the Fraser Valley area, we would love to get you connected into the family. Find everything you need at clcc.ca. Enjoy.
Hi, I'm Kyra.
Hi, my name's Rosalyn.
Hi, my name's Ezra Britton.
Hi, I'm Nate.
Hi, I'm Destiny.
Hi, my name is Jairus. My trip was amazing.
My trip was so awesome.
My trip was very amazing.
It was really cool. Some really cool experiences. Got to get close and to know a really, really cool group of people.
My trip was absolutely amazing.
My trip was amazing.
This trip taught me about the importance of prayer and how easy it can be and how simple, yet how helpful it can be to some people and how important it is.
This trip taught me a lot about empathy and understanding where people are coming from who are in different positions in life than I am.
It taught me that confidence and prayer is really everything. I feel like that's something big that I learned on this trip.
This trip taught me a lot of how much I'm a servant to the Lord and how much I love serving.
This trip taught me a lot. It taught me the value of teamwork.
This trip taught me a lot of compassion, especially seeing all of these broken people around the world. It gave me such a good chance to pray for these people and really be bold with my faith.
God really showed me that even the smallest gestures and kind little acts can really change the outlook of someone's day.
God did a lot in my life. He's also called me down there to go to the leadership school. And so next year after I graduate, I'll be going to the leadership school down in LA.
I felt as if God gave me an immense confidence in my personal calling. And I'm so thankful of how He spoke in my life during this week.
God taught me that His love can be showed in so many different ways, even with like the little things, like just by like saying hi to someone can show that like you care for them because maybe they haven't had someone greet them that day, or just like being able to, like we did in LA, like bring them groceries and stuff like that can really show God's love even just in small ways.
God helped me to be more confident and to be able to go ask people on the street to pray for them. I never thought I'd be able to walk up to someone and just ask to pray for them, and yet there I was doing it every single day for a few hours a day, and it's fairly simple.
I think God obviously gave me confidence to talk to these people, even though sometimes it was scary. But he also guided me, kind of talked through other people to teach me what He wants me to do and what He wants me to say.
In the past few years, I feel like I've really been wrestling with a call to ministry that God has placed on my heart. During this trip, I feel like He really affirmed the pastoral calling in my life.
There was one really cool moment during one of the free grocery programs where a woman came in and she wasn't getting groceries for herself. She was getting groceries for her recently widowed neighbor, which I thought was really cool. And it was just cool seeing that another woman wanted to just share the blessings of free groceries to somebody else.
I'd say the coolest moment for me was probably the final debrief, where we had 4 hours of just talking over people, encouraging words, and praying for them and making them feel loved. And I don't think I've ever felt more sense of at home and at ease with a bunch of people I didn't know 4 months prior.
A cool moment was when I was talking with one of the disciples. They have a discipleship program there, and he shared his testimony with us, and it was really powerful, and it was really inspiring to me because of all the disciples that were doing the discipleship program. They all have really cool stories of how they got there, and some of them, sometimes they're really sad and kind of like touched your heart a little bit, but then it would always go from this person's having such a good life to the worst that they possibly can to now they're at the Dream Center and they're just going for God every day, wake up and just praise God that they are alive and that they are given a second chance.
Now, I feel confident to bring the things I learned in Los Angeles back to my own community here.
Go to the Dream Center.
Go to LA next year.
Go to the Dream Center.
You should go to LA next year.
Hey, church. Man, first of all, we want to just say thank you so much. Thank you for praying for our team. Thank you for reading all our social media posts. Thank you for helping our students fundraise, bring bottles to us, buying donuts, letting us wash your cars, albeit very poorly. we could have not have done what we did this past week in LA, and students' lives would not have been changed if it wasn't for the support of our church family. Man, we saw incredible change in the hearts of and lives of our students. We saw students grow in maturity and in boldness. Students had an opportunity to share their testimony, and they were also impacted by testimonies of the people that we came across in LA. God spoke in the lives of our students. Callings were confirmed, as you saw in the video, and students' hearts were broken for what Jesus' heart is broken for. We also believe that the work we did while we were there made a kingdom difference, because our students made themselves available for what Jesus wanted to do, and they represented Jesus every place they went. We believe and we pray that seeds were planted in the lives of people that we came in contact with in LA. So I think, actually, it's a fitting story after bringing a group of 16 high school kids around the city of LA to discuss one of my favorite stories in the Bible about preteen Jesus. You know, we talk about the 7-pound, 2-ounce baby Jesus at Christmas. We talk about the adult life and ministry and incredible sacrifice that Jesus made as an adult. But there's some room in between. We don't talk about it much, and really because there's not much said about it. But as a youth pastor who's passionate about young people, I think we should take some time to talk about the small glimpse we have into Jesus's adolescence. So scripture doesn't cover Jesus' early years much. Actually, the only gospel account of Jesus as a child is found at the end of Luke 2, which is where we're going to be today. I actually wish scripture would tell me more about Jesus as a child. Like, I like to think about it. I mean, he must have been a total joy to raise. He would have played nice with his friends. I bet you he unloaded the dishwasher without being asked. I bet you if Mary was making spaghetti for dinner, he didn't have all those red marks around his mouth. I love thinking about what Jesus would have been like. What would he have been like maybe in our youth ministry, in our youth group? I think he would have been a good candidate for our student preach month we did this past June, although he might be going for my job. I wish scripture gave us more. But as we get into this story, we're going to see that this account of the boy Jesus and his time at the temple gives us an incredible sight into who young Jesus was. And as disciples and followers of Jesus, I think we can learn a lot from this story. And if you're tuning in and you don't know who Jesus is, or you've just never made the decision to follow him with your life, I actually think that our story today is one that can be transformative. So let's set the scene for you as we get into the word. The Hebrew Bible that for Jewish people instructed all Jews to make a pilgrimage into Jerusalem, the holy city, 3 times a year. And one of those pilgrimages, one of those journeys that was set in Jewish law, was to come to Jerusalem in spring for Passover. Now, many of us know Passover. It's the Jewish holiday, a remembrance of God's deliverance of his people from their slavery in Egypt. And then the passing over was him sparing the firstborn children of God's people. Well, Mary and Joseph, Jesus's parents, they made this journey to Passover annually. They were obedient. And this is actually where we get started in the story, is as they are making their journey. So we're going to be reading in Luke chapter 2, 41. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When Jesus was 12 years old, they attended the festival as usual. After the celebration was over, they started home to Nazareth, but Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't miss him at first because they assumed he was among the other travelers. But when he didn't show up that evening, they started looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they couldn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to search for him there. Let me pray. Jesus, thank you so much for the word of God. I just pray for each person who's tuning in, that you should just be so real and present with them. That the word that I've been given the privilege to share today would be so impactful, so revolutionary for people. And Jesus, would I just be a vessel for your spirit to speak? We love you. Amen. You know why I think this story is so great? Mary and Joseph left Jesus behind. They forgot him. And maybe you've experienced this. You're lucky you're tuning in from wherever you are, not in church, because otherwise I'd make you raise your hand if you ever left a kid behind. I'm 2 mission trips down, and I'm proud to say I have never forgotten any kids. But if you have, don't feel so bad, because like losing a kid at No Frills is not as bad as if I left a kid in the streets of South Central LA. So I'm glad that I've never left anyone behind. But I do remember when I was left behind once. We're in a series right now called Stories That Transform Us. And this moment changed me for real. The 2010 Winter Olympics. My family, we're from Victoria. So we came over for the festivities, not to like see any events because we were too cheap to go to those. But we walked around the village and we were at the Robson Ice Rink. And I went up close to watch what was happening. And my parents just kept going on without me. And all of a sudden, I am alone in Vancouver, surrounded by 1,000 people wearing that same stupid red Canada sweater. Well, thankfully, after a little while of searching, I saw someone I recognized. Quatchy, the mascot. Maybe you know who that was. It was the Sasquatch one. I recognized him because I had the toy. And so I went over to him and I pulled on the fur and I said, "I'm lost." Well, it was incredible. Quatchy could talk. Eventually, him, Quatchy, and some nice security people, they helped me find my mom and dad. I guess if you do the math, I was 13 years old when that happened. It's a bit of an embarrassing story for a 13-year-old. But we're talking about a 12-year-old, okay? You know, my experience was not far off from our text this morning. Similarly, Mary and Joseph, they're gathering up the family, head back home to Nazareth. And remember this too, they would have had like a larger family by this time. Jesus is 12 years old, so we'd have younger siblings. And this wasn't just a three-person family anymore. And I don't know about any of you that have younger kids, but I'm sure that if you have younger kids, you're dealing with the 5-year-old, making sure they're getting organized, and you hope that the 12-year-old can take care of themselves a little bit more. Now, obviously, if you were my parents at the 2010 Winter Olympics, you'd be wrong. But as we look at this story, I can't help but criticize Mary and Joseph a little bit. You left behind the Messiah. They knew who Jesus was too, right? Like an angel appeared to them. They knew their task to raise up a son who, quote, would be the savior of the world. Now, I can understand my parents leaving me behind, but frankly, there is no excuse for leaving behind the literal Son of God. Yet, I'm going to challenge us this morning. How often do we do the same? How often do we forget Jesus? You know, we're busy people, right? Like, I've been following a lot of our church family on social media. You guys packed your summer. And I was trying not to be too envious in my heart because your summers looked super fun. They were funner. They looked so fun. And you know what? It was busy. I'm sure you can attest to that because life is busy. We got kids to get to volleyball practice. We got to host friends for dinner, which means we got to clean the house. We need to make sure that we volunteer in our church. We need to keep up with that new sport everyone's playing, pickleball, of course. We've got deadlines at work. We have to make sure we spend quality time with our spouse so that we keep our marriage healthy. We have vacations to plan and yard work to finish. And don't forget the renovation you need to get started or that just creaky cupboard door that you haven't gotten around to fixing yet. And help your kids with their homework and visit family in Alberta. And sometimes it's just a little bit too much. And we forget Jesus. We sometimes forget about Jesus because life's just a little too busy. Sometimes we get caught up. The everyday stuff of life, it's the idea of one of my favorite authors, John Mark Comer. He talks about the everyday stuff of life, the routine, the normal, the daily life. But hear this. There's something so incredible in knowing that Jesus, he wants to be at the center of the everyday stuff. And we have no excuse either, really. We say something similar to what Mary and Joseph might have said. Like, I thought he was with me. But when we get caught up on our own stuff, it's too often we end up doing life alone. It actually says in verse 44, it says that Mary and Joseph assumed he was with the other travelers. I want to ask you this. Is Jesus the most important part of your life? We may say that Christ is at the center. He's above family, friends, work, money, right? We say this. My faith in him is over everything. But if he's truly the most important part of your life, I'd like to think you'd know if you left him behind. And if it can happen to the earthly parents of Jesus, it can certainly happen to you and me. Now, obviously, I want to be clear. We're not talking about physically leaving him behind. But I think that in the life, but I want you to think, in the life you live, how often do you invite Jesus in? Because if you make decisions, build relationships, raise your kids, improve your career, and you're not actively welcoming Jesus to be a part of those things, you've left him behind. You've forgotten him. And I'm thinking as I read this story, come on, Mary and Joseph, you got a special important job. Don't mess it up. I look at this story and think, what irresponsible people. You have been given an important task. Do not lose Jesus. Yet I know that in the highest parts of my life, I sometimes forget him or neglect to give him glory. I know that in the lowest of lows, I don't always turn to him when I'm in need. I know that in the middle, the everyday stuff of life, I forget to worship him with all that I am. And sometimes I forget him. Can we learn from Mary and Joseph, wherever we go, whatever we do, make sure that Christ is at the center. I want to keep reading. We're going to resume. They're searching for him in Jerusalem. We're verse 46 now, okay? It says, 3 days later, they finally discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious teachers, listening to them and asking questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. I want to pause here for a second because I know I give Mary and Joseph a hard time, but it isn't necessarily true that Jesus was left in Jerusalem just because of Mary and Joseph's negligence, right? Jesus left their side. Jesus left to go to the temple because Jesus was doing the work of his heavenly Father. You see, 12-year-old Jesus had a kingdom mindset. Jesus knew that what was most important was obedience to his Father, fulfilling the work of the kingdom. And sometimes I think we fail to understand that Jesus was fully God and fully human. His knowledge, his insight, his skill and intelligence, they were definitely beyond those of ordinary children. And a lot of that's attributed to the fact that he was sinless. But he wasn't, well, he was sinless, and that's why he wasn't distracted by the things of this world. But he still needed to learn and grow like any of us would, right? But Jesus was dedicated. He was devout. He knew scripture because he worked at knowing it. And Jesus went to the temple because he knew that he needed to spend time in the temple. He needed to grow in his understanding, to enrich his knowledge and his wisdom. But Jesus also knew he wasn't stupid. He knew that he was without his parents. He left. He dipped, as the kids would say. He knew he was flying solo in the big city without mom and dad for 3 days. So many ask in this story, and this is why I want to pause here, was Jesus disobeying his mother and father? And that's why I want to stop, because it's complicated. Some argue that he disobeyed them by departing from their side. Others argue that he didn't necessarily disobey them at all because there was no indication that they gave specific instructions not to depart from their side. But what we do know, this is what we do know and can be confident in, is there was no sin in his actions. Because Jesus demonstrated that life requires obedience to more than just earthly parents. Jesus chose the will of his heavenly Father first. Now, if you're a young kid living at home with your parents tuning in, don't hear what I'm not saying. This is not an excuse to say, Pastor Noah said, I don't have to listen to you, mom and dad. I only have to listen to God. But what I do want us to know is that this is our authority. This is number one. And Jesus demonstrated to us that obedience to his heavenly Father must come before obedience to any earthly authority, because Jesus had a kingdom mindset. Let's get back into the story. We're going to go back to verse 45 to 52. When they couldn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to search for him. 3 days later, they finally discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious teachers, listening to them and asking questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. His parents didn't know what to think. Son, his mother said to him, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been frantic searching for you everywhere. This is what Jesus says. But why did you search? Why did you need to search? He asked. Didn't you know that I must be in my Father's house? But they didn't understand what he meant. Then he returned to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them, and his mother stored all these things in her heart. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all the people. This is the good stuff. This is the story that transforms us. And I don't want us to miss what's next, okay? This word is good. And I think there's something relevant and something transformative for all of us, okay? They went back to Jerusalem to find him, and they searched. But what does that look like? What's the first century Amber Alert like the notification on our phones that scares us every time it pops up? What was searching for him like? Well, I stumbled across this video. It was a Bible story from Saddleback Kids. It was a children's ministry curriculum little snippet. And it was a cartoon of Mary and Joseph as they searched high and low for Jesus in Jerusalem. And honestly, I thought the video was so funny because they're knocking on random people's doors. They're opening up the lid of dumpsters. They're looking under rocks. It's exaggerated and it's funny. But what gets me so good is that they looked in so many wrong places. But guess where he was? They discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious leaders, listening to them and asking them questions. He was at the temple. Of course he was. His father's house. Mary and Joseph spent all this time looking for him in all the wrong places. Why wouldn't they assume that the Son of God is going to be at the house of his heavenly Father? And those of you who maybe feel like you've left Jesus behind, or you've forgotten him at times, I want you to hear this. You don't need to worry, because he isn't as hard to find as Mary and Joseph made it look. Jesus is right where he says he'll be. And actually, why don't I tell you a few of the places you'll find him? He's amidst Christian community. I believe Jesus is present in our building every Tuesday and Wednesday night as high school and middle school students gather every week. I believe he's here on Sunday mornings when we gather to worship. Jesus is going to be at the temple. Every time when I go into my quiet place, whether it's on my couch or sometimes it's in my bed with my YouVersion app, I know that Jesus is present with me because Jesus is going to be at the temple. When you sit around the dinner table in the evening and you talk to your family about their day and what they learned in school, I know Jesus is present there because Jesus is going to be at the temple. When you go into your meetings at work or on the job site or in your hospital wing or college students in your lecture halls or middle schoolers on your paper route, Jesus is present there too because Jesus is going to be at the temple. You know what these places have in common? You're there. You're there. And the great thing is, those of you that are tuning in today who know Jesus to be your savior of your life, you actually can't leave him behind. You might forget him at times, but he is always with you. Why? Because 1 Corinthians 6:17, it says, whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. And then later in verse 19, it says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, temples who is in you, whom you have received from God? The temple? It's you. And when I say that Jesus is where he says he'll be, I mean that he is with you. Your body is a temple for the spirit of Jesus. And maybe you've heard this before. Your body is a temple. I always joke about it because all of my friends get cool tattoos. And I say, sorry, my body's a temple. It's really just because I'm afraid of the needle. But it's true. Jesus is going to be at the temple. And the temple is you. He's with you wherever you go. You don't need to turn over rocks or knock on doors to find him. He is accessible. He is available. He is present and he is with you. And maybe some of us need to realize that our workplaces, our backyards, the grocery store, the minivan, that's the temple too. Quit looking so hard because his spirit is with you. You know what was so incredible about our trip to Los Angeles was amidst the darkest places, our students felt the most encouraged by Jesus. We spent time in a place called Skid Row. And those who might not be aware, Skid Row is one of the largest stable homeless populations of people in the United States. Anywhere between 9 and 15,000 people are there on any given day. And we walked through the streets speaking with just some incredibly broken people. And we witnessed poverty like many of us have never seen before. And there's two things I noticed while we were there. The first was this. There was an incredible light and hope when you spoke to certain people on Skid Row. There were people there that knew Jesus. They had a faith in him that was more unshakable and knew and meditated on the word more than I do. They were the temple. Second thing I noticed was that our students, who most have never been in an environment like this before in their life, walked with a confidence and felt an unexplainable peace and left the place feeling closer to Christ than before they arrived. Why? Because Jesus was with us when we went into those places. And Jesus is with every full-time volunteer that serves tirelessly in those communities week in and week out and honestly pray for those people. He is with us. The temple was the street corner in Skid Row because he was there with us. Man, I love this story. Jesus was at the temple. I want to close with a question for you. Are you at the temple? And when I think about the first century temple experience, I just think it's so cool. God resided in that place. Like you had to travel to go to where God was. I feel like that's just kind of epic. Like I would have bought the house next door. People are spending their money on oceanfront property, on the Dead Sea. No, not me. Put me next to the temple where God resides. That is cool. But now we know that God resides with his people through his spirit. Well, my question for you is this. Do you seek to spend time with him? When Jesus' parents finally find him, he looks at his parents with what I can only imagine like what a confused 12-year-old boy would look like. He says, "Why did you need to search? Didn't you know that I must be in my Father's house?" And it's the posture that's so convicting for me. I want to be like that. Don't you know? Don't you know I'm going to be in my Father's house? Don't you know I'll be sitting and learning and meditating on what is good? Of course, I'm going to seek the presence and the goodness and the relationship and the comfort and the peace and the faithfulness of my Heavenly Father. Why search for me? Of course, you know this is where I will be. I want to say, okay, friends, okay, my family, okay, church, you know where to find me, in the presence of my Father. Is that us? Like, is our desire to be in the presence of God something that actually defines who we are? Because of course, I'm going to be in my Father's house. Because that honestly, it filters into everything we do. Like, we could ask those same questions like Jesus did. Don't you know? Don't you know I don't speak like that about people because it doesn't honor God? Don't you know I don't treat people that way because I love them the way Jesus does? Don't you know I'm going to serve my church because I love the church like Jesus did? Don't you know I'm going to be faithful in my giving because Jesus is Lord over everything, including my finances? Don't you know I wake up early because life's busy, but I want to make sure that I sit at the feet of Jesus every day. I want the posture of 12-year-old Jesus. You know where to find me in my Father's house. Because there's a reason why. Because Passover, 20 years later after this story, Jesus leaves his father and mother again. Because when he died a death that he didn't deserve. And that's when he took all of my sin and the sin of yourself and the sin of others, and he put it on himself. It's when he died for you and he died for me so that we could experience a full life now and for eternity. Because then he rose from the dead. And now, in the life he has given us, he's not hard to find. In that life, he is present with you in the temple. I'd encourage you today to take this time and respond personally. If you don't know who this Jesus person is, but you want to accept the free gift that he offers, we would really encourage you to reach out to us. We would love to meet with you, pray with you, get you started on this journey of following him. And maybe you're tuning in today and you're thinking, man, I've forgotten Jesus a little bit. I haven't made him the center of the everyday stuff of life. I'd encourage you, take some time today. Wherever you're tuning in from, be in the presence of the Father a little bit more today. Carve out time in the busyness and don't forget about Jesus. We love you so much, church. Have a great one.
Thanks for joining us. If you are looking to get connected, we are one church in multiple locations. Our Aldergrove campus meets at Parkside Elementary School Sundays at 10:30. Our Abbotsford campus has three services each Sunday, 8:30, 10, and 11:30. We would love to see you at one of our in-person gatherings. If you would like to financially support us, you can always give at cscc.ca/give. See you later.